quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. Welcome to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking peoples and the Squamish-speaking peoples. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded territories of the Halkomelem-speaking peoples and the Hunkaminam-speaking peoples. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. Ooh, it's been a week. Mentally, I am all over the place and simultaneously checked out. But last weekend? The weekend before? I don't really know how people calculate weekends, to be honest, but I saw The Wedding Banquet with my friends. This movie is Andrew Ahn's 2025 remake of the 1993 Gaijin classic of the same name, but directed by Ang Lee. And I had such a good time watching this 2025 version that I wanted to talk about it, and I wanted to compare it to the 1993 version, which I saw a few months ago, in preparation, mind you, for this 2025 version. So that's what today's episode is going to be. It's very gay, it's very Asian, you know, two of my specialties, and on today's playlist, it is also gay and Asian. It's music by queer people, and if they're not queer, then they're Asian, and if they're not Asian, then they're queer, and if they're not somehow both, they're one or the other, keeping it on theme. And we will begin with a classic by the Mandopop diva of the world, Teresa Tung. Ye Lai Xiang, Night Jasmine.
Bye. 听叫，喜就喜欢晴朗天，叽叽叽叽叽叽叽，天际喜鹊就欢笑，叽叽叽叽叽叽叽，天际喜鹊就要欢笑。
The Arcata Marsh and Wildlife Sanctuary in Northwest California is an important stop along the Pacific Flyway, one of the four main routes for bird migration through North America. Great birding and trails through the marsh are a big draw for both locals and tourists from around the world. But community steward George Zeminski says that many people are surprised to learn that this wildlife sanctuary is also the city of Arcata's wastewater treatment facility.
You know, and they're wandering around over there just looking at all this beautiful stuff going, where's the sewage treatment plant?
In one part of the site, a treatment facility removes solids and sludge from wastewater. After the initial cleansing steps, the water flows into wetlands where microbes, algae, and plants finish the job. This is how the city of Arcata has turned its treated wastewater into a refuge for shorebirds and other wildlife.
Coastal wetlands and marsh habitat have been filled in and built upon through much of the West Coast. All those fields used to be intertidal and marsh. It's really nice allowing some of these fields to revert back to being habitat for the fish and the birds.
These Arcata wetlands provide homes and migratory resting places for over 300 species of birds. Even the most unlikely places can be transformed into a thriving ecosystem. For Bird Note, I'm Jesse Eden.
Whatever it is, you know that it's sweet. Yeah, yeah, sugar. taste like sugar.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. That's Callous Way with Sugar off of her album A Kid from Toronto. Before that, you heard 喜鹊叫, The Magpie Calls by Fang Jingying here on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF. My name is Leslie, and we are going to talk about the Wedding Banquet, both versions. Mostly with an emphasis on the latest version. If you are unfamiliar, let me break it down for you. So The Wedding Banquet originally was this 1993 movie by Ang Lee, and it's considered like a Gaijin classic. It is about a Taiwanese-American man named Wai Teng, who lives with his devoted boyfriend Simon in New York. Wai Teng's parents want him to get married, but they don't know that he isn't attracted to women. And they keep setting him up with these single eligible bachelorettes when Wai Teng is just like, I need to not be married. I have a boyfriend and I'm in love with him. But at the same time, he doesn't want to come out to his family. He hasn't yet. He's not sure how to, especially because his family is pretty traditional. Mind you, this is the 1990s, and his dad is, you know, this like typical kind of Confucian patriarch, where he watches over the family and he's the guy who knows best. So Wai Teng's in a bit of a pickle. But one of his tenants, because Wai Teng is a gentrifier, one of his tenants, Wei Wei, is from Shanghai. She's an artist and her visa's about to expire. He and Simon hatch a plan. What if he marries Wei Wei and she can help him out by pretending to be his wife, and he can help her out by helping her get a green card? So he goes and announces that he is getting married to this random woman. He tells his parents about it. And they're like, but you're going to have a wedding, right? Like, you're not going to get married without a wedding, right? Do you understand? Like, this is a part of our tradition. We must. And so he and Wei Wei have no choice but to throw a wedding banquet. Shenanigans ensue. Wei Wei becomes pregnant with Wai Teng's child, and in the end, Wai Teng has no other choice, essentially, but to confront his father and let him know, yeah, he's queer, he's gay, he's not actually interested in Wei Wei at all. And he hopes that his dad can accept him, which he does. And it's a happy ending. It's, I think, maybe a little bit more of a family dramedy than anything else. But it is considered like a queer Asian classic in the sense that like It's got this big name Asian director behind it, Ang Lee, who also did Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, which is an excellent film. And it touches on these films about gay Asian American life. And so give it 30 years, 32 years or so, and you get a remake by Andrew Ahn, and he makes a film of the same name, which was recently released in theaters. The Wedding Banquet 2025 follows Angela and her partner, Lee, who are trying to get pregnant through IVF. And it also follows their best friends, Chris and Min. Chris is just a guy, and Min is his devoted boyfriend whose student visa is about to expire. And Min's grandparents, who raised him, are demanding that he returns to Korea so that he can inherit their big old company. Lee's IVF treatment, this is the second time that she's gone through it, this, you know, really like expensive thing, and unfortunately it's not successful. Lee is getting a little bit older, and under ideal circumstances they would have enough money and maybe Angela would be the one to carry their next try, because after three tries, you know, like, it's just not recommended to do it again, apparently. And the first and second tries were a no-go. Lee wants nothing more than to raise a family with Angela. And Angela loves her partner so much, but is very afraid of becoming a mother because she's got mommy issues. So Min and Lee hatch a plan. Okay, Chris won't marry Min because he's afraid of commitment and a bunch of other things. And Angela is really not into the idea of carrying another child, and Lee and Angela don't have enough money to go through another treatment of IVF. So Min is going to marry Angela and pay for Lee's IVF treatment. Min happily tells his grandmother, okay, Grandma, I am getting married, so therefore I'm staying in America, and sorry, there's nothing you can do about it. I'm in love. And his grandma's like, are you sure she's just not trying to marry you for your money? Okay, I'm gonna come over. I'm gonna see what this girl's deal is. And really quickly, she unravels the fact that the whole thing's a sham. But because she can't have Min get cut off and kicked out by her husband, she goes along with it and says, you know what? We'll throw this big Korean wedding banquet, and we'll have like Korean press come and take photos to show your grandpa that, yeah, you have indeed gotten married, and you don't have to come back to Korea to run his company. We'll figure it out instead. Shenanigans happen. Many a miscommunication. It is more of a rom-com than a family dramedy. And in the end, Min and Chris get married. Lee and Angela's IVF treatment is successful, and Angela is also pregnant. And so the four of them raise a concoction of a biological and chosen family. Big ol' queer biological and chosen family. And it brought me to tears. Watching The Wedding Banquet 2025... One, nothing that I love more than being in a theater full of gay people, which was exactly the vibe of that day. Two, sobbing, weeping, multiple points throughout this movie in a way that I truly would never would have expected, because I did not feel that intense of emotions when I was watching the 1993 version. And so in the later part of today's episode, I'm going to break down maybe the reasons why I got really emotional about this movie. But for now, we're going to listen to some more music. Here is a track by Flash Flood Darlings. This is Sail. Enjoy.
This is Bird Note. Sailor and artist Brecken Morgan circumnavigated the globe solo. Alone on the vast expanse of the Pacific Ocean, he welcomed the companionship of a swallow-tailed gull.
There was this bird that came to visit me in the morning, kind of flew around me and then flew off. But in the evening, it came back. And I remember coming up a number of times at night to check my bearings and the set of the sails, and the bird was flying off of the bowsprit in front of the boat like a little shadow of moonlight floating back and forth almost all night long. And this happened for a number of days in a row. There's this loneliness that happens when you're far at sea, and I felt I had a companion. I felt I had a friend. I tried to let it know that it was welcome, as much as you can when you talk to a bird at sea. I always expressed my happiness to see him, and it was a particularly comforting presence.
Brecken saw other birds on his voyage, too.
They were friends in the middle of the void, amazing visitors that I couldn't understand how they managed to get 1,500 miles from the nearest piece of rock and survive, but obviously they were more ancient mariners than I would ever imagine being. Whether I made those birds as happy as they made me, I'll have no idea. But they did make me very happy.
You can see some of Morgan's paintings of his voyage on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
I wanna wake up.